So I'd love to start with diving back to when it was a TV project, when you were out in Sundance. How much did it change into what I just got to see? What was the major kind of elements that changed it into the film? I mean, what are we missing from the TV to the film, I guess?
Well, we're not missing much from the TV to the film. I think, like, because I had written out, you know, at least four of the episodes, and I had the next four, which basically the first season kind of planned out. But, and actually we used the first, you know, we used some of the pilot in the actual footage from the pilot in the feature, so you're not missing too much at all. It, you know, there's a few scenes that got trimmed just to make it more of a feature. I mean, the real feature was the sort of the beginning. And the real problem of changing it from a short to a feature was making the, you know, there was a lot of openings, and the real challenge was sort of making it more like a feature that would, you know, like a film too, that would close, you know, where the storylines would go to, characters would grow and stories would close. You know, TV never really closes.
I love that it has the three main characters. Can you talk a bit about writing for those three different voices and how much fun it was to kind of close those stories and give them, you know, a full arc?
The you know, each of those characters was sort of is some part of me, I guess. Maybe not Quinn so much, but you know, Josh is the actor who plays Dan. Dan and Kelsey, you know, they both have parts of me when I was younger trying to get some attention put on, you know, when you get out of school and you're trying to get yourself taken seriously. And for whatever reason, you know, Kelsey just doesn't know how to present herself at all. And Dan has a, you know, heavy dose of sort of middle-class guilt, I guess you could call it. You know, he wants to... It's tough in a world, you know, when you're put out in the world and nobody really cares after art school, where you're learning these sort of idealistic things. So it was fun, you know, it's fun for me. I'm a little older, and I, you know, looking back on being young and making those mistakes again. I feel like when you're older, you don't make as many mistakes just because you've tried a lot of things already. So it's fun to go back and remember some of the things you did and some of the things that you would do just because you were younger.
Was it tough, or was this maybe a catharsis element of being able to kind of release some of those past memories? I mean, what did you get out of completing the film?
I don't know if it was a catharsis. It was definitely, you know, it's just fun. It's fun to look back when it's fun to be, you know, younger. And look, you know, and be able to make these mistakes. It's, you know, it's hard to explain, but, you know, when you are young, you know, you do something stupid, but it ends up being a whole adventure and a story. And I think when you're older, you've made these mistakes already, so you tend not to do something stupid because, you know, you sort of know where that's going to go. And yeah, it was, you know, looking back, it's an adventure, but while you're living it, it kind of sucks. And I think, like, you know, being young and not having any money or not having any, you know, just struggling and trying, you know, if you have some ambition and trying to make it in the world, remembering that feeling, too, and just how serious you took it at the time, you know, as you get older, I think these things start to, you know, not fade away, but, you know, the things that are important changes, I guess, is what you'd say. So, you know, I had some very idealistic views when I was younger, and I still do, but it's just, I see more of the world, you know, around me a little more, so it's a little different.
Does that add to maybe, I found myself laughing so much at this film, like the certain lines that really just, I thought you were kind of poking fun, like you said, maybe of your past self. Can you talk about some of the wonderful moments? I think, like, there's lines in it like, unfuck your hair, and there's a great line, he's a friend with my dad, which I was like, I think every artist would think that to some level. There's some really, really funny moments. Was that revealing in itself that this is kind of a nice way to look back as you get to kind of poke fun at yourself, but also that's what made, I think, the film really click for me. I laughed throughout the whole film.
Oh, thanks. It's supposed to be funny. You're supposed to, you laugh at the serious of it in a way, but it's, you know, I think a lot of people probably have the feeling, even without art, you know, when your parents say they'll help you out and get you some interview or something like that, it's really the worst way to be introduced to anybody. And, you know, no one's really going to take you seriously, and you kind of know that, but you don't really have any other options because you don't know anybody. So, you know, you go into these situation like that. I mean, we don't see you go into that situation, really, but, you know, it's always a little bit humiliating, and you feel like a kid, and, you know, it's funny when you look back on it. Yeah, it's not funny when you, like I said, it's not funny when you're living it. I mean, he's miserable that he had to go into that meeting and swallow his pride for his whatever reason. You know, all he's trying to do is prove things to his parents, and he has to take a handout from them, you know? So it's not a fun situation for anybody to be in. But, you know, he's lucky he had some parents to help him out, too. And he just doesn't appreciate it because, you know, he has that. And, you know, Kelsey's a disaster in a lot of ways, but, you know, she just wants to be taken seriously. She doesn't want to have to work shitty jobs, like she says, and I don't know, it's tough. It's tough being that age and really taking it seriously, but like I said, when you look back on it, you can see the absurdity of some of it.
Can we talk about your wonderful cast, about your Kelsey, your Dan, and also getting to pull in actors? I love Austin's opening. I love David Patrick Kelly's performance. That hat was really cool of his. Can you talk a bit? Oh, it's a great choice. Can you talk a bit about this wonderful cast? You've had in your career, you've been able to kind of have some really quality actors along the way. Can you talk about finding these talents and putting them in these roles?
Well, mostly it's just auditions, really. And, you know, the young actors definitely were all auditions. And it's tough getting good actors when you're doing a low-budget film because the agents don't take you very seriously. And right now, or at least when we were filming the pilot, there was a lot of competition for good actors. And even though I've done a few films and, you know, had some success at it, I mean, that gets me further than a lot of people would as far as getting through agents and managers. And I have a casting agent. Sorry, casting director, but you know, it's always a challenge to get good actors, even at a young age. But then again, so I live in New York, and there's a lot of actors here, and there are a lot of really great actors here. And like Amy Hargreaves is she's a friend of a friend, and Austin Pendleton was a friend of a friend, you know, was a friend of Emily Bergel, who was in my first movie, who I'm still a little bit in touch with, and I asked her who she knew that could do something like that, and she connected me, which was really nice of her. So David Patrick Kelly was somebody they sent in as soon as I met him. I knew I wanted him, but as soon as I saw his picture, I mean, I remember him from other movies too, but, you know, I was so happy to have somebody like that.
Can I ask
them? It just all comes together. I mean, casts are, you know, I mean, I love working with actors. It's my favorite part of the whole thing, probably.
I'm kind of curious, as far as having someone fresh and new make a feature debut compared to working with an Austin or David or an Amy, do you change the way you approach them, or is it all kind of, here's your idea, here's what the script is saying? I mean, do you find yourself doing it differently, or was it all smooth on all elements?
It's different. It's definitely different. You know, it's not, it was all smooth. You know, there's, I think it definitely is tough when you're working with someone who's never been in a film or has only been on a couple films before. Like, that's really the biggest, that's really the hardest to work with, because they don't, you know, it's a tough atmosphere to work on a film as an actor. And, you know, when you haven't really done it before, you don't really know the ins and outs or what you're even going to get out of it from the other side when you're watching the film. You don't know how to calibrate your performance. And whereas if you get an experienced actor, you can just, you know, you say a couple things usually and they know exactly what you're talking about. So it's, you know, you definitely calibrate, but it also depends on the person. I mean, some actors are a little more insecure than others, and if you say something wrong, you know, you can really ruin their performance. So you're always sort of guiding them. You know, the director doesn't really tell them what to do. It's more of a, you know, trying to figure out how they can best bring what they have to the part. And the real work comes when you're, you know, when they're auditioning to find the best match, and in rehearsals when you find sort of the angle and the tone of what you're doing, and then when you're on the set, then you can figure out exactly what it is. But on these films, there's not a lot of time to really figure anything out while we're filming it.
I love in your director's statement, you mentioned that you didn't want to show people painting. You didn't want to show people looking at paintings. Can you talk about working with your cinematographer, Sam and Scott, about framing a movie about art that you're trying to not, it's more about the artist, not necessarily the art itself, and what you guys were trying to do visually, and also about shooting in New York, just a little bit about the ins and outs of where you guys shot, and I'm guessing it was a short number of days, and...
Okay, let me see. Well, you know, not shooting art was something I made, a decision I made early on in the film, because I hate movies about art, and it's the same about music, or and most things, you know. Whenever you're in a scene in a film, and somebody's looking at a piece of art, and they say, what a masterpiece, and you look at that piece of art, and people look at pieces of art differently. And, you know, you're never going to really represent the piece of art in a movie in that sort of way that you can sell that to an audience. And it's the same like with the music. It's easier maybe to explain the music. If you have somebody who's got a hit song in a movie, you have to have a hit song that you're listening to in the movie or it's not going to work. So the answer to that was to concentrate on the artist, like you said, and not concentrate on the art itself, and try to have as little as possible of seeing the art, unless there was a plot point or something like that, or you know, we had to see the art for some reason, but it was as little as possible of people looking at art and telling you that it was good or bad. And also because people really don't understand art very much, and it's just impossible in a movie when you're getting a passing glance at something to really sum that up. So when we were doing, so, you know, it was always a case of filling the, you know, as far as cinematography goes, it was a case of shooting the, you know, the actors and getting the atmosphere right is more than anything, and making it as a very talky film, and we wanted to make it as cinematic as possible. So we worked a lot on, you know, we did the wide screen, and we tried to make it have its own look, you know, and it wasn't always easy, but it's you know, like I said, when you're working at low budgets, and it's talk about your other thing about locations. So it's you know, locations make a film, and one of the great things about living in New York is, or shooting in New York, is that you have access to great locations and a lot of those restaurants, bars, and things. We were able to just, you know, we went around and knocked on doors basically, and you know, begged them to let us in. But yeah, it's a funny time for locations too, or it was last year, you know, when we shot. But it was who knows now. But a lot of these restaurants were decked out sort of for the Instagram generation, so they all look great.
I'm kind of curious. You mentioned Instagram in the film. It's also I don't want you to, you know, necessarily share what the ending is, but I love that it's a form of art that isn't as beloved as in the galleries, you know, with the presence of police. Can you talk a bit about making that point in the film, or was that something you were trying to touch upon? Because I thought it was a great way to say, you know, what is art and who can really say, and there was a lot to ending it that way, I think. I think you had a purpose to it.
Yeah, there's exactly that, and also that, you know, I mean, Quinn is sort of a pure, or he's not pure, but he's an ideal old school artist who has ideas about, you know, the purity of his art, or you know, just ideas of what his art is going to be able to do. And, you know, I don't make a big deal out of it myself, but, you know, in the end, he's the one that gets shut down by the police, because that's, because being artist is, in a way, it can be a dangerous thing. And, I think that's sort of what it's about. And there is there's all forms of art too, like you say. There's you know, there's very highbrow and lowbrow film, you know, parts of art, and they get treated differently. So it's always tricky.
On a logistics question, who actually did the art? Like, where did you find the art for the film?
We mostly had it made. You know, it depends who it was, which situation, or we, you know, had friends who are artists who brought their
Very cool. I'm curious about the pandemic impact. You guys did win a grand jury prize, but it was sadly on a virtual setting. Can you talk about, you know, you've been to Sundance, you've been to these major festivals. How tricky is it to look at the festival circuit now and the way it's been sadly impacted by all of this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Dances with Films that we were in would have played at the, you know, Grauman's Chinese Theater in Los Angeles. They usually have their festival, and I was, you know, I was so happy to play there, and then, you know, then it went virtual, and it just became a sort of strange thing. And it's also strange because it's in L.A. and I'm in New York, and, you know, they start their events at 9, so, you know, like the award thing at the end, I was sitting up waiting at like 2 or 3 in the morning, just waiting on my computer, watching, you know, the award ceremony. So it's which they really tried, you know, they did a good job, and it was, you know, to be fair, but it's just, you know, it's not at all the same thing as the festival where you get I would have loved to have seen this film projected in front of an audience, which, you know, it's getting released tomorrow on VOD, so I'll never really have that feeling. So I do think it would play, you know, it's the kind of film that plays well with an audience. You know, the pilot played in front of an audience at a few festivals in Sundance, like you said, so I got an idea of it, but it would have been nice to see the whole film play like that.
As far as the title, I love that it's short and easy. How easy was it to choose that as your title for the film?
I think I had that pretty early on, and actually one of the producers wanted to change it, and I could never think of anything better. I do think it's tricky when you're searching for it on the internet, but it's, you know, it's just paint is... It's a way of, you know, talking about art in a specifically lowbrow, unpretentious way, which I hope the movie does. You know, I tried to make a very unpretentious film, so I thought Paint was a good title for that.
What was it like with Gravitas Ventures coming in? I think they do art films really good. Your film very much is an independent, I think, film about art. Was it nice to have, I think, a company that looks at film a certain way is the one that's going to, you know, put it out there to the world? I mean, was that a big thing for you, for a company like that?
Yeah, finding distribution, making the film is always incredibly hard. You know, you're getting it financed and writing it and everything, and then you hit distribution and it's just impossible. You know, distribution is always the hardest. And you also have to find foreign sales companies to sell it internationally. And to have somebody, love your film enough to want to put it out there it's a nice thing. But it's just in this day and age, there's so many movies out there. There's so many movies going into the system that, you know, Gravitas has to watch 7 or 8 films a day, or so they say, you know, or maybe a week. But still, it's a huge amount of films that they have to get through. So yeah, it was nice that they courted us.
As far as what's down the pipeline, Michael, have you started working on anything right now? I know it's a little tricky with, especially New York and LA, kind of being on shutdown mode. I'm curious, writing-wise, maybe, do you know what your next idea or project or thing you want to jump into, or are you just concentrating right now on Paint?
No, because I finished Paint, you know, sometime during the springtime, I guess, you know, right before the pandemic, pretty much. So I've been writing, which is normally what I would have done anyway. So, and I wrote one script, which I don't think I'm going to make, but it was something along the lines of this, you know, low budget character study. And then I wrote a Western, which I just started sending out. And I'm going to write another script now. I'm going to start another script now. I don't really have any. I'm not really going to try to shoot anything, I don't think, until this pandemic's over. So I'm not looking to shoot anything probably next year, or at least not until the fall. It takes a long time to get these things made. So if I finished my script today, you know, it would still probably take a year to get started on it.
I love asking writers, do you write in a vacuum where you're trying to close yourself off, or do you look towards inspirations, reading certain books to inspire you, or watching certain films? You know, you talk about a Western. Did you look at anything prior to that, or do you like to write in a vacuum?
So let's say writing a Western. I mean, I've seen a lot of Westerns. I had this idea for a long time, and I just never wrote it. Never seemed to be the right time, but this seemed to be the right time. And while I was writing it, I definitely watched a lot of Westerns. Some rewatched some, and, you know, I found some others. I mean, mostly old stuff. I mean, the Westerns, they don't make them anymore, so you have to go and watch old movies. And definitely when I'm, especially when I'm thinking of directing stuff, I start to watch a few movies and, you know, something that I think might help me, like, you know, I've watched a lot of Blake Edwards films before. I did a film called Price Check that I did a few years ago, and not really just because I love his film so much. I mean, but I do love the way he sort of directs a scene and moves the camera around and things like that. So, but as far as writing goes, it's not that I write in a vacuum. But I like to write down in a coffee shop, actually, which is hard now. But it's, I try not to be too influenced in writing when I'm looking at other films. It's depressing when you find out that your scripts are sort of like some other scripts that's coming out there.
Well, Michael, thanks for the time. I really loved the film, and I loved how much I laughed at it. It was kind of unexpected. So thank you for having a good quality sense of humor. It was great.
Oh, thanks. So, I hope you're going to edit this a little bit. Did you get what you needed from us?
Yeah, no, definitely. Michael, I think it's great, and you guys have a great rest of your day, and I'm sure we'll chat soon.